Today we're beginning a new sermon series called Like a Nail. And, a nail is something that has a purpose to it, right? A nail can be used to construct something new. A nail can be used to repair something broken. A nail can be neglected and never used at all. Or a nail can be used for inappropriate purposes, like the one that ended up on the front right wheel of my car a few weeks ago that I had to go get patched. And in much the same way, our lives are useful. Our lives have a purpose behind them. And God wants to use every one of our lives, all right? We don't just exist in this world to take up space and to be able to live our life and the best life that we can and then go to heaven. But God wants to use our life for his purposes and for his glory. God wants to use us as a means to bless other people and to advance his kingdom. Jesus himself put it this way in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10. He said, "Instead, whoever wants to be great among you," because he was talking to people who aspired to greatness, people who wanted to do something special. I want to be someone special. I want to be seen. I want to do something great. And here's what Jesus said. "Whoever wants to be great among you must first be your servant." He said, the way to greatness starts with smallness. The way to greatness in God's economy is simplicity. He said, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man," Jesus said, "even myself," said Jesus, "I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." Jesus said, listen, even though he was the Messiah, he didn't come saying, well, serve me, do this for me, do that. No, Jesus came to serve people, even though he was one that was worthy of being served. Now, a good example of this is found in a story, a small little brief couple verse story in the book of Matthew, where the Bible says that Jesus was with the disciples and he went into the home of Peter's family, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And it says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 through 16, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever, and he touched her hand and the fever left her and she got up and began to wait upon him. Now, there's a couple things. There's really two different miracles in this specific story. The first one is Jesus touched her and healed her. The second miracle is that Peter actually allowed Jesus to pray for his mother-in-law. All right? It's supposed to be a joke. All right? But after Jesus prays for her and she's healed, all right, look at this last sentence. Once Jesus healed her, the Bible says that she got up and began to serve Jesus. Once she experienced the goodness of God, once Jesus touched her and she experienced his grace and his mercy and his healing power in her life, rather than saying, well, just thank you, Jesus. Hey, by the way, while you're here, can you do this for me and can you do that for me? No, the Bible says that she immediately gets up and begins to wait on him. She stands up and serves. And my friends, this is in many ways emblematic of what God wants to do with our life. When we become a believer, once we choose to believe in God, once we experience the goodness of God, we are called to use our life as a conduit, as a means to serve other people, to serve the kingdom of God, to serve the local church. And every one of us fundamentally must make a decision, a cognizant decision in our mind. How do I spell service? Do I spell service, serve us, or do I spell service, service? Do I view the church as a means to say, I want you to serve me and to feed me and give me, I want this, I want that? Or am I realizing that God has touched my life and I'm called to step out and to touch others? Fundamentally, that's what we're talking about in this sermon series, Like a Nail. And today as we begin, we're going to talk today about a message. Many of you, this is not new. Many of you, this is review. Some of you have heard it more times than you care, but it's still worth hearing again. And for some of you, it is new. But I believe deep in my soul that this is a powerful message. It's very important for us to understand this as we think about service. And so today we're going to talk about how God has shaped you for service. Because this is important to understand how God has made you as an individual person. And once you understand how God has made you as an individual person, the ability to align your talents and abilities, your personality, etc., the better you know how God has made you, and you can begin to connect that with serving God, you are going to be much more satisfied and much more effective in what you do. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 10, verse number 8, Job said, "You have shaped me and you made me." Job realized, even in the midst of his suffering, even in the midst of his hardship, that God had shaped him, that God had made him. And my friends, God has shaped every one of us. He's not just given us a unique DNA. He's not just given us, you know, a unique body, but God has shaped you, and he has shaped you for a purpose, and God has shaped you in order that you may serve him. And so today what I want to do is I want to walk through the word shape. It's an acrostic for five different specific elements of every one of our lives, five different ways that God can use your life based upon how he's made you, how he shaped you, okay? So let's start with the S. First of all, the S is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are abilities that God gives to us for the explicit purpose of serving him. All right. Now, spiritual gifts, the Bible says that once you become a believer and the Holy Spirit comes into your life, that God gives spiritual gifts to people. Sometimes he takes natural gifts and he enhances those gifts. And sometimes God imparts them from the outside. God gives you something that you don't even know that you had. All right. I became a Christian shortly before my 21st birthday. I almost immediately felt a call into ministry. But let me tell you something. I never, and no one who knew me, envisioned me as a public speaker. All right. I didn't ace speech class. All right. None of that was there for me. All right. But when God came into my life and I began to have this desire and I found that God gave me a gift that I never knew that I had, and he gave it to me for the reason of advancing his kingdom, of serving his purpose. But it's not just about speaking or pastoring. The Bible lists over 20 spiritual gifts in the New Testament. Things like teaching, but also leadership and miracles and service and knowledge, intercession, hospitality, giving, faith, encouragement, administration. All of these are gifts. All right. Now, we're all called to serve. We're all called to be generous. But some people have the gift of giving. It just like oozes out of them. They just give, give, give. We're all called to be hospitable people as Christians. But some people have the gift of hospitality. All right. And if you've ever been to someone's home that has the gift of hospitality, it's just amazing to me because it's so like not me or my family, but people who have the gift of hospitality, you go in there and it's like, you know, they have the napkins, you know, match the dessert, right? And they just can't give you watermelon. It's got to be watermelon shaped like some animal or something like that. I mean, they see these things. They have the absolute perfect background music going on because for some people, they don't have to think about this. They just do it. It's a gifting that God has given them. And the Bible says when God gives spiritual gifts to us, they are to be used for us to serve God and to serve his purpose. I had a guy in my first church, his name was Gene. And Gene had literally a middle school education. And he was a truck driver, and you know, he was often very, you know, he would often sort of like, oh, I'm not very educated. And you know, he sort of had that insecurity about him. But I'm gonna tell you something. This guy had the spiritual gift of service. I would show up to church, this little rural church. I would show up and literally, I mean, I can still remember these images walking in and Gene like pops up his head between the pews. He's on the floor cleaning under the pews. And he would take the windows out and clean the windowsills and wash the windows. And he would do this kind of stuff by himself at the church, and he would do it with a smile on his face. Because he had the gift of service. He just loved serving. He didn't want to be recognized. He didn't care if anybody else was there. He saw things that nobody else wanted to do, and he would do them because God gave him a gift of service. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to build yourself up, to impress people, to make a great life for yourself. No. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God wants us to use our giftings, especially spiritual giftings. We are called to steward these and to give these back. And my friends, not everybody has the same gifting. Many people have a couple of gifts. Some people have several gifts. Some may only have one or two. That's okay. But whatever God has given you, if you have identified your spiritual gifts, you are called to use those for the glory of God. And I realize for some people, it's hard to uncover what your gifting is, which is why a couple times a year we try to have a class to help people understand that. And the next one's going to be on March 12th, which is a couple of months out there. But we're going to have a Saturday class to take you through a process of discovering what are your spiritual gifts as well as the other elements of your shape. But once you know what your gifts are, my friends, use them. Second of all, after we go to the S, which is spiritual gifts, the H is heart. Now, when we talk about our heart, we're talking about our passions, the things that make us come alive on the inside, the things that just, you know, make our adrenaline go like, I just love to do this. Because you can be gifted in something, you can have a gifting, but your passions may be completely different. And if you don't align your passion, you may not be able to effectively use your gifting. Let me just give you a practical example. Both my wife and her sister are school teachers, or were school teachers. My wife can't teach anymore, but they were both school teachers. They both were good students. They both are very dedicated to their students that they teach. They take it very seriously. They prepare. They bring great energy. They love the kids. They pray for the kids. They were great. But my wife went into elementary education. She loved second through fourth grade, and she would not touch junior high or high school kids with a 10-foot pole. My sister-in-law, Stacy, teaches junior high and freshmen and sophomores in high school, and she loves it. She will not touch elementary school. Two sisters, both gifted, both passionate, both committed, but they have two completely different passions. And so you can take the person who loves working with high school students, and they can be a great high school teacher, but you put them with kindergartners and they could flop epically and quit teaching. Why? Not because it's outside their gifting, but because it's outside of their passion or their heartbeat. And you can take a person who's really good with young kids and you can put them someplace else and they could be half as effective as they were before. Why? Because they don't love it like they do over here. And my friends, for us, we have to be able to search our hearts and say, God, how have you wired me? What makes my heart leap? What gives me great energy and passion? The Bible says in Proverbs 27:19, as a face is reflected in the water, so the heart reflects the real person. Your heart reflects how God has made you. What is it in your heart that makes you come alive, that gives energy to you, that makes you put a bounce in your step? All right, that's what passion does. All right, several years ago before I had kids, I used to golf quite a bit for several years. And I'm not by nature a morning person. I'm not the kind of guy that likes to get up early. As a matter of fact, I love to hit the alarm clock, the snooze as many times as I can. But when it would be in July, and I had a Saturday, all right, I had no problem getting up at 5:30 to go to the golf course before it got busy and before it got hot, because I love golf. And if I'm doing something I love, even though I don't not necessarily a morning person, it's easier for me to get up with energy because I'm doing something I love, right? When you connect with your heart, you're able to say, all right, I'm doing this with a greater level of energy and engagement. And when you find your passion, when you find your heartbeat, you do have more energy and you do have more enthusiasm and eagerness to do what it is that you're supposed to do. And let me tell you something else. When you connect with your heart, you usually also have greater effectiveness, because passion is contagious. All right. And when you have enthusiasm for what you're doing, people can see it. They can see it in your eyes. They can hear it in the tone of your voice. They can see it in your body language. Likewise, if you're doing something that you hate to do, people can see that as well. And so to serve God, we have to ask the Lord, God, what are my gifts that you've given to me? What is my heartbeat? What is it that I love to do? What is it you've wired me with? All right. And then third, we have to look at our abilities. All right. Now, abilities are very similar to spiritual gifts. But the difference is that the Bible lists 20-some spiritual gifts in the New Testament that are specifically given for the purpose of serving God. But sometimes God gives natural abilities to us that are not necessarily spiritual gifts, but those abilities can be used to honor God and to serve other people. All right? So for example, in the Old Testament, the Bible tells a story in Exodus where the Lord tells Moses that he wants Moses to construct a tabernacle or a tent of meeting. And so Moses begins to get the plans. God speaks to Moses, tells him how to build it, the dimensions. But guess what? Moses isn't a builder. So it says in Exodus 36:1, so Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skilled person, see, you're not the only one to butcher Bible names, right? All right. And every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how, this is key, right? To know how to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary, are to do the work just as the Lord commanded. So in other words, these two guys right here, I don't imagine they were probably leading Bible studies or singing special music in the synagogue. But let me tell you something. They knew how to use a hammer. They knew how to construct something. They knew how to build something. The Bible says that God had given them skill and ability to do something. Yesterday, in the afternoon, we came home from Trevor's basketball game, and my neighbor was tearing apart his car, putting a new bumper and doing some. I said to my neighbor, I'm like, you're just like a jack of all trades. He goes, well, you gotta be. I mean, this guy can fix anything and everything. Some of us cannot. And like I said, when I saw this guy, I thought about this. You know, some people have the gift of actually repairing cars, or fixing things around the house. Some people have skills that may not necessarily be spiritual gifts, but maybe God can use that skill, that ability, for you to serve other people. Because there are some people who just can't afford to pay the money to get their car fixed, or some people that need help, you know, fixing and repairing things around their house. That's a gift you can use to serve people and, in essence, serve God. All right? And it doesn't have to be, once again, it doesn't even have to be anything overtly spiritual. Let me give you an example. There's a group, you know, how many of you, raise your hand, if you've heard of the group called Dude Perfect? All right, you familiar with Dude Perfect? You ever heard of these guys? They were college students at Texas A&M University, and they began to do trick shots with basketballs. And one day they made a trick shot on video, and the guy says, dude, that's perfect, dude, perfect. So that's how they came up with their name. So they began to take trick shots and do more and more trick shots in basketball while in college. Today, their videos have gotten over 2.5 billion views online, billion views, and they have over 15 million subscribers to their YouTube channel. They're one of the 25 greatest subscribed YouTube channels on the internet. But here's the thing. Not just do these young guys do trick shots in basketball, but they are believers in Jesus. And they have made the connection between using this hobby, using this fun thing they do with making trick shots, and using it to honor God and to serve people. For example, every 100,000 hits they get on one of their web pages, or on their web pages, they sponsor a child through Compassion International. I can't remember how many dozens of kids that they've sponsored now through Compassion International, because when they get hits, as they grow in popularity, they take that and they say, we're going to sponsor a child in a third world country. Listen, this is what they wrote on their own website. Obviously, when that first ball swished, we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. But we believe that nothing happens by accident, that God's given us this platform for a reason, and that we have the opportunity to make an impact on the lives of countless others around the globe. Above all else, our ultimate goal is to glorify Jesus in everything that we do. We want to use this platform for something much bigger than ourselves. What's the point here? You don't have to be a missionary, you don't have to be a musician, you don't have to be a minister for God to use your abilities and talents to serve him and to serve other people. These guys throw basketballs and make trick shots, and they are making a difference because they've connected this with serving God. And my friends, it doesn't matter what it is. God has given you abilities, and he expects you to use them, not just to the furtherment of ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to build a good life, but it's not just about indulging ourselves, it's to be used for God. In the book of Deuteronomy, the people in Israel were boasting because they had gotten their freedom and they were starting to get some success. And look at this, and look at what I've done. And Moses writes to them in the book of Deuteronomy and says this. He says, you may say to yourself, and let us just be honest, many of us have said this to ourselves. We've said it to ourselves. My power and my ability, the strength of my hands, my hard work, I've made a good life for myself. They have produced this wealth for me. But Moses reminds the people, he says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as he did today. In other words, God has given you the ability. Listen, God delivered them out of Egypt. If they were still slaves standing on straw and making pyramids, they would not have the abilities that they had, the opportunity they had to have the kind of wealth they were generating. Listen, we take things for granted. We take God's goodness in our life for granted. And my friends, when we think about abilities, we realize that God has given me intellect that I take for granted. God has given me opportunities that I take for granted. God has allowed my hands to work and my feet to work, my body to work in a way that gives me opportunity. Listen, God has given us so much that we think is our own that we don't realize God has put us in this position. God has given us all this opportunity in spite of our problems. And part of honoring God with our shape is realizing, God, you have given me abilities. Everything I have in this life, every breath I take is a gift from you. So don't just take it for yourself, but use it to serve other people, right? Spiritual gifts, heartbeat, ability, and fourth is personality. Now, personality speaks to the traits and characteristics of our lives. We're all different personalities. We have similar personalities, but we all have different personalities, just as we have different physical appearances and different DNA, all right? Some of you in this room are very disciplined people. You follow your schedules. Other people don't know what a schedule is, all right? Some people in this room are very spontaneous, and some are very structured. We are all different personalities. But if we don't consider our personality and how God has made us, sometimes we can be serving God, but we find out that we're a square peg in a round hole. Because we're trying to serve, and we're doing something that's not really true to who we are, all right? The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 13, for God created you, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, David said. So when God created us, he created not just our bodies and certain things about us, but God created our innermost being. Some of you are charismatic. Some of you are not charismatic. You're more thoughtful. Some of us in this room are very energetic, and some of you feel like you have limited energy. And some of us, are extroverts, and we love being around people. And some are introverts, and you're like, I just don't want to be around anybody, all right? But regardless of your personality, God wants to use you. The part of the key, though, is say, God, how have you wired me, and how can I work within my personality? For example, if you're an extrovert, you're outgoing, don't volunteer to put, to serve in the office putting data in the database. And if you're an introvert, it's probably not the best job for you to be a greeter at the door. God, where have you wired me? What is it that you've given me? How is my personality that makes a difference? And by the way, God uses everybody. There's a niche, there's an opportunity to work within your abilities, but also your personality and your passions. The Apostle Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. The Apostle John was steady and measured and thoughtful. Paul had the characteristics of an optimist. When you read the Old Testament, Jeremiah and Jonah had all the characteristics of a pessimist. Everything was like, this is bad. I mean, they were just like, woe is me. They had a completely different makeup where Paul would face persecution. He's like, oh, God is in the middle of this and God's gonna do something great. Different personalities. Timothy was timid and insecure. King Saul, the first king of Israel, was brash, self-confident, and borderline arrogant. The point here is that God can use anybody and everybody, including you and I. What is my spiritual gifts? What is my heart? What is my ability? What's my personality? And finally, what are my experiences? The final area of our shape that defines our life is our experiences. Our good experiences, our bad experiences. The things that were positive in our life, the things that were not positive in our life, and everything in between. And it doesn't matter whether you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth or whether you live part of your life in a cardboard box. It doesn't matter whether you see yourself as being highly successful or whether you see your life as an epic failure. It really doesn't matter. God wants to use our experiences to further his kingdom. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:4, the Apostle Paul said, God comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others with the comfort that we have received. See, just like Peter's mother-in-law, once we receive something from God, we're to turn around and to honor God by doing something about it. And so it says, just as we have been comforted in all of our troubles, we are called to comfort other people. Then a few verses later, the Apostle Paul says this. 2 Corinthians is filled with stories of Paul being persecuted. He talks about being beaten. He talks about being stoned and left for dead. He talks about being unjustly imprisoned. He talks about being rejected. He talks about all these things that he had to suffer and endure. And he says this in chapter 1, verse 9. We felt that we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely upon ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul said, listen, I'm learning to rely upon God in the midst of my suffering. And it's that reliability, later he goes on to say, where he finds strength and power and purpose to serve God. Let me tell you, some of the things that you are most embarrassed about in your life, some of your biggest mistakes and darkest sins, some of your deepest temptations that you are embarrassed to acknowledge, some of your greatest failures, sometimes these are mechanisms, these are experiences that God wants to use for us to help other people, because there's no temptation that you have faced that somebody else isn't facing. There is no thing that you have done that is so bad that nobody else has done it. There is no experience you've had that nobody else has had something similar. And oftentimes, in the midst of our successes, but also in the midst of our failures and our pain and our rejection and our suffering, God wants to use that to help other people. Don't allow your experiences to simply be wasted. God wants to use them. I read a story recently about a gentleman by the name of Robert. When he was 9 years old, his mother died. And after his mother died, he began to act out. He began to get in trouble in school, began to get in all these different problems, fights, etc. A couple years later, he went to a summer camp. And it was in that summer camp that he was challenged with a message of others. Look at others. Walk in others' shoes. And all of a sudden, this young boy, Robert, began to get in his mind, in the midst of his anger and his pain about losing his mother, he began to get this message about other people and other people and other people. And this vision began to come in his mind about, well, maybe I can help other people because other people are hurting like I'm hurting. Recently, Robert stepped down from his position as the president of Aldafa University on the East Coast, where he served for 15 years. Now in his 70s, he's retired. But here's a gentleman that gave his life, a lifetime of serving people, that was started by the fact that he was wrestling with the pain of losing his mother. My friends, God has given you a unique shape, a very unique shape. Your spiritual gifts, your heartbeat, your ability, your personality, your experiences. And part of our job is to pray and to ask God, how have you made me? How have you shaped me? And how can you use my shape to advance your purpose? And there are times where we can give a lot. There's times we can give a little and everything in between. But we want to exhort you. We want to challenge you today to prayerfully ask God to reveal and to help you go into a process to discern how he's made you and how you can connect that with serving him and his purpose. Now, a couple things, as I told you earlier, in March, you can keep your eyes open. We're going to have a class called Finding Your Shape on a Saturday. But between now and then, in your seat backs in front of you, there's a little handout here, a bill handout. And what we're going to do is the band's going to come out right now, and they're going to play a song, an older song, but it's a powerful one, called Take My Life. And as they come out and they sing this song for us, you can just sit there and you can listen to the song, you can sing the song, you can just absorb it. But we want to ask some of you to take this right here and just look at this. It's got words, it's got emojis on here. Take this and just circle the things that speak about you and about your life, all right? And then write your name, your phone number, and your email, and someone from the church will follow up with you in the next week or so and just ask you about yourself. And we want to try to find a way to help you serve within your shape, to help you find a way to where you can serve within your shape. And so grab this right here. You can take a moment. You can fill this out while the band is playing, or you can just simply sit back and listen to these words as we talk about being a vessel, allowing God to use our life to serve him and to serve other people.